Happy Father's Day. Happy Father's Day. I pray that you've been blessed already. I thought that was pretty good, wasn't it? That was well done. It was well done by our creative team. I'm Gary, the pastor of the Brighton Heights campus. Before we get started, there's something I just want to share. We do this at times. I say it for those that are new here. Just at that, we believe that God wants to speak prophetically, and a lot of times I feel God gives me something for people I don't know. And this guy right here, this gentleman right here, I don't think I've ever met you before. But you know what? I'm submitting something to you for you to consider that I believe is God. First, you're a man of great potential. There's a potential that God has put inside of you. Not everybody has, and it's to have an influence on people that people will really trust you. They'll feel safe around you. You're going to tell them the truth. There's this potential for you to impact a lot of people, all right? But in the same way, listen, there's a potential also for you to blow up a lot of people. And if you don't make right choices, you don't just hurt yourself, you'll hurt a bunch of people, all right? And my sense is that there's a history where you kind of go like this and things are going great and then boom. They go great and then boom. And the Lord's just saying, look, I have a plan for you. And he's not looking at the failures. He's looking forward. And there's a big potential in you, all right? But you got to put yourself in the right environment that you can grow into that potential, all right? No more blowing people up. We're gonna go forward because God wants. He wants to blow something up, and that's the devil's kingdom through you. Amen. Okay, so I submit that to you. Okay, amen. God's good. God is good. So I'll ask you later if that's correct. You can tell me if it's not. Happy Father's Day. Hey, do you see these on your seats? All right. How dad are you for all the men in here? I think I've said everything on this list. I think I might get 100% score. I have 3 sons here. They could tell me if that's accurate. Yeah, I think I have. Some of you are probably working on the list already. But I definitely have said, did you fall in? I was just resting my eyes. It's not heavy. It's just awkward. You know, I say all these things. I say all these. So that can be, again, do a test. Test the dads around you. Test the men around you. See if they say those types of things. But we do want to celebrate manhood today. You know, we're joking this morning about how, you know, on Mother's Day, you know, the message is always encouraging. Mothers always get encouraged on Mother's Day. And a lot of times on Father's Day, we just hammer the men. We just tell them, man up, be a man. And the thing is, we kind of forget that what God created in men is a good thing. Created a good thing. You know, and again, we don't have enough models of manhood. We don't have enough. I know myself, listen, when I was young, I did not have a good relationship with my father. It was actually very volatile. Later in life, we both got saved and things changed. But it wasn't good. And I did not look to my father for any input. I didn't ask him any questions about life. I was determined not to be like him. That was my determination. And, you know, so what did I have growing up? I saw angry males. I knew just being angry, that wasn't manhood. I knew that. Passive males. I knew that wasn't it. I knew that wasn't the example that I wanted. I knew innately, I knew men should be strong, but they should have integrity. They should stand for something. And thankfully, I had a maternal grandfather who poured into my life without trying. It's just who he was. And he was born of immigrant parents from Serbia. His full name was Samuel Savo Ivashevic. Okay, so some of you recognize Samuel Savo. That's my son Sam and Cricket's son's name. And he was born, of course, he was born in 1906, raised with nothing, dirt poor, the oldest of 8, forced to quit school in the 8th grade so the other kids wouldn't have to quit school. Okay, so he was taught to sacrifice for his family. He went on to work in the Westinghouse in East Pittsburgh. That's the area they were in. Westinghouse used to have a plant in East Pittsburgh that employed 24,000 people. In the early 80s, it totally closed. But he became certified, without a college education, became certified in 17 different disciplines as an engineer. And he was the example to me of manhood. Still moves me. What a man he was. I mean, he was a man. And he, I saw him, he was always stood for what was right. what is right? And he put that into us as grandchildren. It's like, you do the right thing, Gary. You do the right thing. Doesn't matter if it costs you. And he would serve. He served. Everywhere he went, he served. And everywhere he went, he led. He led the Lions Club. During World War II, he was the air raid warden for the street. I mean, he was a leader everywhere he went. And I saw him be merciful. He was married to a binge alcoholic who died when I was a teenager from an overdose. And overdose of pills. But he loved her. He cared for her. So he set this example of what a man should be that left an indelible imprint on my life. Left an indelible imprint. And guys, listen. The world needs examples of manhood. A woman can't build a man. A man can't build a woman. Right? And we need examples. You may say, but man, I didn't have a model like that. Or I haven't been that model. But you know, you can be. Yeah, and we're here to say today, you can be a model of manhood by the power of Jesus Christ. You may say, but man, you don't know my story. Your story doesn't hold anything to the stories in this book. Okay? Paul was an arrogant religious man who killed Christians. Okay? David, the man who was after God's heart, right, was an adulterer and a murderer. Gideon was a fearful man who was hiding and couldn't believe God could use him. Right? So, God can use you. God can use you. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13. And again, simple verse. This is the very end of the letter Paul was writing to the new Christians in the city of Corinth. And he says, one of his last exhortations, be on the alert, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong. Act like men, be strong. One of my favorite scriptures in the whole book. And again, act like men is really, it's one Greek word, androzomahi. Androzomahi. So if you're a dad here, you can just look at your kids and say, androzomahi, okay? And they're going to look at you like, what's the matter with you, okay? But this is a word for man. Again, act like a man. Act like a man. What's it mean? A full-grown, mature, responsible, courageous man who follows what God says is right, all right? Women, how many would like a man like that, right? Right? That's what we want. That's what we desire. We want to fill you with hope today, guys, that you can be that man. You can be that man. Look what it says. First it says, be on the alert. Men of God are alert. Okay, they're not taking time off. They have a post. They're on 24-7. All right? You're on 24-7. If you're married, you're on 24-7. If you have children, you're on like more than 24-7, if there was something like that, right? Stand firm in faith. Right? It's interesting that it says you got to stand firm in your faith before you can even act like a man. You got to be a man who trusts. You got to be a man who has faith in Jesus Christ, or you cannot fulfill this without that. And of course, acting like a man means being brave, being courageous, being a man of courage who stands up. Well, I don't care if it's standing up to your wife or standing up at work for what is right, or confronting wrong on the street. Okay, we're called to be courageous and strong. Structural integrity. You don't move. You're the same. You're the same at home on Tuesday night as you are here on Sunday morning. You're the same at work as you are on Friday night. Right? You're the same person. There's strength. There's internal integrity. Right? So that's what a man is. Alert, in faith, courageous, and strong. That's what God has called you and I to be. That's what God has called us. And think about this. We're made in his image. I mean, just real quickly, Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. Okay, God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Okay, male and female. He created us. Right? And also, he says it's a good thing. Look at verse 31. Okay, verse 31. It says, then God looked over all he had made and saw that it was very good. He didn't look at man and say, oh gosh, I made a mistake. Okay, because in our culture, there is certainly a war against manhood. Right? To say that's not happening is truly to have your head in the sand. There is an attack against manhood. Okay, men are told that they're too aggressive, right? Men are told that they don't pay attention, right? And obviously the media complex makes money off of that, right? The father's usually the bumbling fool, right? And again, that's what culture portrays. But God looked at man and said, it's good. And so, man, when you look in the mirror, you need to know that God created you and said, you're good. You're good. You're in my image. You're in my image. And you can be alert. And you can be a man of faith. And you can be courageous. And you can be strong. Amen? Listen, again, and ladies, listen, one of the things for ladies, too, is you have to watch. Because it's so easy to buy into the cultural perception of your man. It's very easy. Again, well, that's just the way men are. No, it's not. No, it's not. That's not the way it is. Don't buy into that. You know, a lot of women, listen, you have to watch this, because you can, I just want to challenge you as a lady today, okay, is how do you treat your man? Do you build him or do you tear him down? What does he hear most? Or does he hear nothing at all? You know, because see, a lot of men, they want a stallion for a husband, but treat him like a jackass. Okay, you treat him like a donkey. You will treat him like a donkey, and you wonder why he's not a stallion. Well, hello. You got to catch that. See, again, are you being positive with your husband? Because again, I say it about parents with children, or I say it in every relationship you have. You should be twice as positive with your husband as you are negative. Twice as positive. Do you build him up? Do you tell him? Do you tell him he's worthy to be followed? Do you tell him that you appreciate what he does? Do you tell him those things? Right? Build him up. You want a stallion? Feed a stallion. Otherwise, you get what you get, right? So he said, so you have a responsibility in this. You have a part to play. Because in our culture, we just want to look at the men and say, they got a problem. Those men. No, men are created in God's image, and God said, it's a good thing. It's a good thing, all right? So amen. So look at a man right now and say, it's good. I see that, Adelaide. That was really good. Good job. Good job. You got points. Adelaide's just filled her love bank. Amen. Okay. Next slide. A man is an image bearer of the Son of God, entrusted with power and responsibility to represent God to the world. That's what we are anointed to do. Again, for God's glory and the good of others. That's what God has called us to do. And we need to meditate upon this, guys, men. Got to meditate upon it. Meditate upon this. You got to feed yourself the right thing. Quit saying what you're not and see what God says that you are. That's just good preaching. You guys should be excited about this. All right. If you're good, we'll let you out early. Listen, it's important that we build ourselves up, because there's plenty of not just the culture that tears us down, but we tear ourselves down. I mean, I recognize my failures. I recognize that, I mean, I'm called to be responsible for my wife, now an extended family, right? And again, the church family. And I feel totally inadequate in myself. I can't do this. You know, at times I talk too much, at times I don't talk enough, right? Usually I talk too much, right? But you guys, I know you can say amen to that. But but I'm a secure guy. You can say that. But catch this. Catch it. See, that men, we know we're failing. We know we have those issues. So, and the culture reinforces it. We have got to reinforce the truth. This is truth. Genesis 1, 27 to 31 is the truth, right? 1 Corinthians 16, 13 is possible. We've got to use the word of God and stand strong in it. Because I'll tell you what, there's way too many things at stake for me to give up. I will not give up. I will continue to lay my life down. I will continue to know him. Like, why? Because I have a mission in my life. I have a mission in my life. And I have a woman to love. I have children to care for, grandchildren to care for. And I got something that I'm willing to die for in the purpose of Jesus Christ. I will lay down my life for this. But you got to have a purpose. You got to have a purpose. That mission means everything. And again, there's you can't just get caught up, guys, and you can't blame your parents or your father that you're not where you want to be. You can't say God took him too soon or he was too much of this or too much of that. Well, listen, I'll let you blame your parents till you're like 18. All right, then suck it up. You deal with it. God has anointed us, and in by the power of the blood, we can be set free and healed from the past, which is what that prophetic word that Rachel had today was referring to. You can be healed. You can't blame your past for what you aren't today. Because in Jesus Christ, I have everything I need. Amen. Well, thing is, are we gonna grab hold of it? Man, you've been created in God's likeness. Thing is, how can we continue to grow? God, I want to grow into that man. I want to grow into the one that can fulfill my potential, as we were talking about earlier. Well, how do we do that? Well, listen, one of the first things we need to recognize, guys, is we're mortal. Okay, we're mortal. We are going, you're going to die someday, and it helps to keep the end in mind. 1 Kings chapter 2, very simple scripture here. And it says that as the time of King David's death approached, he gave this charge to his son Solomon. I'm going to where everyone on earth must go someday. Take courage and be a man. You know, in the last days of your life, you speak about the things that matter the most. And we see here, David's saying, look, I'm going to die. But this is, Solomon, this is what you need to do. Be courageous. Be courageous. Be a man. Be a man. Take responsibility. Know who you are in God. And hey, listen, here's something you can do, guys. And this is an action point, really, for everybody. I dare you to make a list of 3 to 5 things that you want said at your funeral. What do you want said about you at your funeral? What do you want people to say? Because I've been to too many funerals where people have to get up and lie. What do you want said at your funeral? What is it you want declared? And then live those things. Live those things. I mean, I once said that Jesus was everything to him. Right? I once said he loved his wife, loved his children unto death. You know, he would do anything for them. I once said he would lay down his life for the kingdom. I once said that he would give of his time and his money for the purposes of the kingdom of God. What do you want said at your funeral? What do you want said? Think about that. Okay? Roll that around. And then be that person. Be that person. Pretty simple, huh? Pretty simple. As we go forward here, I just want to show you this picture of this book. Part of this message, good from this part point forward, was from this book. This is a fabulous book called The Intentional Father. Intentional Father. Take a picture of it. Give it as a gift. It's a great book to help men be able to look and see who they are in God and who they are supposed to be in God. Yeah. Amen. Let's just go forward. So this is something out of the book. 5 types of fathers. 5 types of fathers. Irresponsible fathers. All right, and again, sadly, all of us, if you've been a dad, you feel like you've been at this some point, and that's just where you're just not involved, right? But again, this is someone, we're talking about someone who's chronically just not involved. They're just irresponsible. Not involved, they bailed out. They're not involved in their children's life. Ignorant. They don't know how to be a father, but doesn't try to learn either. Don't know how to be a father, but aren't willing to learn. Aren't willing to put the time in to know what that means. And so they project that brokenness. Their kids are broken because they're broken and they're not looking to change. Inconsistent. Inconsistent father. Capable of doing better, but personal ambition of job, career, hobbies take over. They binge on selflessness and caring for the family, kind of like a Christmas or vacation time. Right? But it's not enough. They're just inconsistent in their care. Then there's the involved father. He shows up, speaks up, right? He's there. But the busyness of life keeps him from ever asking the deeper questions to really know his children. But they are involved. Lastly, intentional. A father who's deeply invested in knowing who his kids are and wanting to see their gifting in God and their purpose. They see parenting as central to their call in God. And And we can hear that, and I can speak this as someone who's well past the fathering years. My youngest is 28. And I read this list, and I'm thinking, man, this is Father's Day. I'll have five kids at our house today. And we can talk about this list and see how the conversation goes. Okay, how'd you do, Dad? All right. Amen. Not enough of that. But the point being, no matter where you are on this list, guys, and even if you're past it, you can still go forward a level. Don't stop where you are. You can raise it a level. If you're not a father yet, look at this list. Where do you want to fall? Where do you want to fall in it? Man, God, we got to recognize this is what God has for us. 1 Kings 2:3. Let's go forward. So first, he said, you got to recognize you will die. Live with the end in mind. Secondly, let's just read here. We got to be people who grow in our knowledge of God. Observe the requirements of the Lord your God. Follow his ways. Keep the decrees, the commands, the regulations, and the laws written in the law of Moses so that you will be successful in all you do wherever you go. This is a promise in Scripture. If we will obey what the book says, God says you will prosper and have success. Joshua chapter 1 is another text. Right? He said, if you meditate upon this word, if you're careful to do what it says, you will have success. But you've got to continue to grow closer to God. You know, strong faith comes before manhood. Before true manhood. We've got to be men who are strong in faith. You've got to commit. You've got to be intentional in growing to know God better. Know him better. I've been doing this a long time. I can't say, oh, I got this part down. No. No, it's new every single day, man. I got to draw close. I want to know him better than I did yesterday. I got to keep this fire stoked, that this fire keeps burning inside of me. You know, because guys, think about this too. So we got to know who we are, because the world is pretty chaotic, right? Is it chaotic or what? Okay, we have war raging in Europe, right? And we have culture war raging right here at home, and it's a chaotic world. Listen, guys, we shouldn't be avoiding the world. We should be stepping into the world to show what the standard is. We boldly and courageously stand and say, this is the standard. For those that have young children, man, listen, there is so much confusion and chaos in culture. It's more important than ever that your children know who they are in God. They got to know what they believe and why they believe it. Because it's confusing. It's confusing. And the culture war, the church is losing. Why? Because we're not speaking, we're not imparting the basic truths of who God is. All right? Say ouch or amen. That's the truth for our country, right? That's where we are. Okay, so think about this, because this goes along with fathering and mothering. Okay. What do you want your kids to know when they leave home? Imagine your kids leaving home. You want to set them up for success. Give us that next slide, Josh. What do you want them to know? You know, I want them to understand who God is. They've got to understand who God is. Because listen, parents, my wife and I can say this certainly from experience. You don't find out what kind of parent you are until your kids leave home. What's been put in them? What's the foundation inside of them? How do they stand when they leave your coverage? After they leave your discipline? Okay, what do they know about God? What do they know about themselves? What do they know about the opposite sex? What do they know about work ethic? Hey, what do you want them to know? If you're going to set your kids up for success, what do they need to know? Quit relying on the school, Christian, public, or otherwise. All right? It's up to you. It's up to you to do this. Next slide. Okay? What do you want them to be? You know, in godly character and integrity. What does that mean? What do you want them to be? Okay? And what skills do you want them to have? I mean, listen, God, fathers, it'd be good if your kids knew how to cut the grass and do some basic auto maintenance, right? Know which end of the screwdriver to use. Right, what do you want your kids to know in a practical sense? What practical things? Okay, but this is thinking ahead. If you want to set them up for success, you got to have a plan. Got to have a plan. And then again, too, listen, now if you're here saying, oh man, I wish I heard this like 6 years ago, right? Like, we all feel that to some degree. You start where you are. You can start making changes now. Start making changes now. This is when you start. I mean, for us, it's like, look, we got to work on the grandchildren. Right? I want a relationship with my grandchildren like I have with my grandfather. You know, I want that. I've got to have that. Particularly on that issue of who's God. Who is God? Because again, with the stuff going on morally, again, the confusion over boy, girl, lesbian, homosexual, there is so much confusion there. They've got to know why you believe the Bible. They've got to know why you believe that Jesus is who he says he is. That has to be imparted. So, again, God help us catch this. All right, so again, we're setting you up for a plan for success. Guys, you got to know, again, you know life is short, okay? Look at the end. Okay, got to grow closer to God. But let's make a plan. How are you, what do you want your kids to know? What do you want them to know before they move on? See, we can either be a good man or be good at being a man. That next slide. We got to decide. Because you know, there's a lot of good men. I mean, guys hang out in the bar and they say the guys hanging out are good men. What that usually means is they never cause them any trouble. A good man just never caused trouble. That's a good man. Maybe they help me once in a while if I needed something done. But I don't just want to be a good man. I want you to be good at being a man. Good at being a man. That's what we're talking about here. I want to be someone who's more than just a good person. Good person. And listen, you choose. You have to make choices to be a man. You know, just because you were born male doesn't make you a man. Particularly in the confused culture we're in, right? You're born male. You make a choice to be a man. You're born male. Manhood is a choice. What are you choosing? What are you going to choose? So you have to choose it. You have to choose it, or all you are is a male. All right, let's go forward here. So how do we do that, man? How am I going to be good at being a man? Man, how am I going to do that thing? Well, again, we got to recognize. We got to recognize that there's got some shifts that got to happen in my life, okay? We got to just be honest. You got to shift from easy to difficult. Our culture tells us things should be easy. Right? It just tells us that life should be easy. We should not have things. I mean, when we're in this victim culture, it's saying like nobody should offend me. I should never be hurt. I mean, that's not life. It's not life. Right? But we have to make a decision to go. It's not easy. It's difficult. I'm choosing that in my life. I embrace difficulty. I embrace again. How many have found out that marriage takes work? Right? How long did your honeymoon last? Don't answer that. Okay, don't answer that. But it takes work. There's a difficulty in walking in unity. You have to fight for peace, okay? Again, seismic shifts. Number two, boys care about themselves. Men care about others. Okay. Men are not self-serving. That's not the point. Jesus said, I came to serve, not to be served. Number three, you're part of the story, but you're not the whole story. You're not the whole story. You are not the whole story. It's not about you. It's not about you. It's a shift from bringing control to bringing order. I like that. Because a lot of times, men, we think we should have control. No, you don't need control. We're supposed to bring order. We're supposed to set the mission. Strictly speaking, the fathers and husbands. All right? Again, men set the mission. Women are in submission. All right? Submission. That's a dirty word in our country. Women are to submit. But what does that mean? That means your husband has a mission to serve God. The wife is in sub, under the mission to serve God. The problem is most men don't know they're supposed to have a mission. So if there's no mission, what is the wife sub to? With no mission, there's nothing to be sub. Right? But if the man knows where he's headed, he's setting this course, it's easy for a wife to submit to a mission. So guys, one of the things we got to ask ourselves is, man, do I even have a mission? Do I have a mission beyond, you know, having a better life and hopeful my kids will have more toys than me and I have a good retirement and I'm healthy? That's not a mission. That's self-serving. That's not a mission. Right? So again, oh, aren't you glad you came today? Amen. Okay. It's a shift from the temporary to the eternal. We already talked about this. I'm not living for gratification. I'm living for graduation to the next life. I'm living for that. But guys, we don't live for this. We live for the next life. That's how we're going to be the men that he called us to be. What do we need? Listen, we need. We talked about this at our men's gathering a couple of weeks ago. We need fathers to follow or brothers to share secrets with. Fathers to follow. You need someone to give you input. You need someone. You need someone close enough to you that you're smart enough to ask questions to and you feel comfortable doing it. Ask questions. Listen, when I grew up, I didn't have respect for my father, there were a lot of things he could have imparted to me, but I just disregarded them all because of the relationship. That was, again, so really, I lost out on a lot of good stuff because of that. All right, now, you have a choice. You can ask questions about how to go forward in life, or you can continue to bumble along on your own. Your choice. Your choice. Wise people learn from other people's mistakes. Right? I want you to be wise. So we need fathers to follow. And a father, again, that relationship's usually more one way. You're asking questions, gaining understanding, right? There's things that people with gray hair can impart to you, okay? And they want to do it. They want to do it. All right, so that, man, you want to talk to somebody that's been there before. Also, you need a brother to share secrets with. Not that, again, saying secrets are good, all right? But it's someone that you trust to share your deepest struggles with. Someone that you can share that, man, you're safe. It's a safe place where you can share, I need help. I need help. I'm angry. I need help. I'm dealing with lust. I need help. I'm fearful. That you can share those things. Your wife can't do that for you. Your wife can't do that. Yeah, sure, she should know those things, but she can't help you in those things. You need a man to help you do that. To come together. You know, again, this is the scripture we have here. Confess your sins one to another and pray to one for one another. You could be healed. Listen, you don't need to confess your sins to somebody to be forgiven. Jesus forgives you. But scripture speaks this here about healing. And I see it experientially from serving God since most of you were born that there is something that happens when you confess sin that does help the healing process. It disarms the devil to be able to accuse you. It disarms shame. But you need somebody close to you that you trust. All right? You've got to hunt. You've got to hunt for that. You've got to hunt for that. And think about this. James 5:19. It says this. It says, my brothers, if anyone among you wanders from the truth, someone brings him back, let him know that whoever brings him back, a sinner from his wandering, will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sin. That's what brothers do. That's what brothers do. You see someone fall off, you don't say, they're getting what they deserve. No, you try to rescue them. You rescue them. And you save, you're part of saving them from a deeper place. I want those relationships in my life. How about you? That's what I want. So for this to happen, we got to be intentional. You need relationships, guys, that sharpen you. That sharpen you. And some of you are familiar with Proverbs 27:17. And it says, iron sharpens iron. One man sharpens another. You know, and things that need sharpened are typically very hard things, all right? And most of you guys are very hard. And so it takes some friction. It takes pressure. It takes sparks. You know, being sharpened takes a lot of pressure on the blade, all right? Are you willing to be sharpened? Are you willing to be? And it gets sharpened, why? Why do you sharpen a blade? So it can be more effective. So it can cut easier, right? You want to live life at a higher degree? Get somebody around you who can sharpen you. You have to choose to get that. Most of us don't want that. I don't want that kind of challenge. God, you tell me. I don't want Wayne to tell me. And God says, if you'd listen to me, I would. But since you won't listen to me, I'm going to tell Wayne to tell you, right? That's okay. So again, we have to choose. That's the point. We wish it was that simple. You have to want that relationship that God can put you in a place where you can walk in what you desire. To be a man who's on the alert, who's filled with faith, who is strong and courageous. That's what we desire in this life. So the action points are simply this. Action points. Next slide, please. What do you want said at your funeral? And this is for men and women. What do you want your kids to know? What's going to set them up for success? That's your homework going from this place. Guys, and again, Corey said, you got to get that relationship. You want sharpened? You want sharpened. If you desire that, you've got to go hunt for it. You know, right? Man, father to follow, brothers to share secrets with. That's what God desires for us. That's what he desires. Amen. Listen, we would always be remiss if we didn't stop at this moment and just say, look, if there's anyone here and you feel like you've been far from God, and you're saying, look, I have not, I've been running my own life. I have not followed him. I believe in him, but I don't know what it means to be a follower. Yes, I believe, but I don't follow. Believers don't get to heaven. Believers in Jesus don't get to heaven. Followers of Jesus get to heaven. All right, so again, if you're here and you're saying, man, I've been in a place where I have not been following, and you're saying, I need to rededicate. Do not leave here without that. We have a prayer team up front. You come up here and do it. Nobody can make you do it. It's up to you. You want sharpened? Come and make it happen. Come and make it happen. Otherwise, I just want to say happy Father's Day. We do have a small gift for you guys as you leave today. But let's walk as men, expectant of good. You can do this because God made you in the best way. Amen.